Very good. Now, we're going to read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin at verse number 1. I asked Mark to bring up Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10, but we're going to focus on the first part. And after we read Ephesians chapter 2, we're also going to read in Luke chapter 10. So Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now we'll take our time, because we're not in a rush, but let's go back to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10, we'll begin our reading at verse number 30. Matthew, Mark, Luke 10, verse 30. What we read in Ephesians is what the Bible teaches us about God's mercy and grace and love. What we're going to read now in the Gospel of Luke is a picture of God's mercy and grace and love. So, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30, we read this. "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Now we're at verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, do thou likewise." As I was sitting there listening to David preaching, I thought, you see, David and I don't compare notes before the meeting, and we don't talk about what he's going to speak, and then I'll get up and I'll say this and you say that. We don't do that. I'm not saying that's wrong. It's just not something that we do. But while I was sitting there thinking about what David was saying and thinking about the message that I had, I thought there must be someone in this room tonight who needs to hear about the love of God. Must be. Because if I was to divide my message up quite simply from Ephesians chapter 2, it would be this. There is death and disobedience, but there's love and there's life. And we heard about two of those themes already, life and love, with a focus on the death of the sinner. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at the compassion of God declared to us in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at the love of God displayed for us in Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to notice how this played out as the Lord Jesus left heaven to come to where we are to actually save us. Very simple, I know. But if we could pull up Ephesians chapter 2 again, the first five verses, we're going to look at it very quickly. The passage begins like this, "And you hath he quickened." Now that's an older English word. For those of you who have English as your second language, it's not a word that you're going to use at the co-op when you go to buy your groceries. You're not going to use that word in day-to-day in O'Leary. But it's an older English word that we find in our Bible that has a very relevant meaning for us. "You hath he quickened." There it is, right there. Right? It's the idea of giving life, making something alive. And we are told now, remember, when this letter was written, it was written to people who used to be lost. They were lost, but now they are saved. They were not Christians, but now they are Christians. And now we're learning that they were dead, but now they're alive. And David was mentioning it, and I'm glad he focused on it because I don't want to spend too much time, but we do need to understand that the love of God is magnified when we realize how awfully dead we were. I'm not sure if something can be more dead than another dead thing. I'm going to let you think about that. No, I'm not a philosopher. But if something is dead, it can't get more dead, can it? No, you're either dead or you're alive. But I want you to think in these terms. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know that from our Bible. So that everything that we see didn't just happen by accident. Everything that we see came to be because of the power and the word of God. So, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. You'll also read at the beginning of your Bible that he made man in his own image. And then he made a woman. But before the woman came along, when he made man, he formed man of the dust of the ground. I want you to think in these terms with me because it's very, very simple and yet interesting. I know I've spoken on this here before. But when God formed the man, he didn't just throw together a ball, cast it there on the ground, and expect it to be ready to function, did he? He formed a man with ears. Why? Because God purposed that the man would hear. And he formed a man with eyes because it was his design that the man would see. And he made him feet because in God's plan, he wanted the man to walk. You see? And he gave him hands because he wanted him to be able to grab things. Dexterity is the English word when you can grab little things and maneuver your hands. But he gave him hands and he gave him eyes and he gave him ears and he gave him feet and he gave him everything that is necessary to do what God designed him to do. Right? Because he had a plan for that man. But if you were standing back with me and you saw that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and the man, I said this before, it doesn't tell us that he was just laying there, but let's say he was just laying there. And as he's laying there, he has ears, but he can't hear. And he has eyes, but he can't see. He has feet, you got it, but he can't walk. You see, having all of the body parts that are designed to function really meant nothing until he had something that he was missing. What was it? Life. He needed life. Without life, the eyes couldn't see. Without life, the ears couldn't hear. Without life, the feet couldn't walk, right? So this is what the Bible tells us. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And now a living man can hear God. A living man can see. A living man can walk. And you see, what we're being told now is just like David talked to us about earlier. We're not talking in Ephesians chapter 2 about your physical life, because I know you can hear me. I know you can see me. And I know you can walk because you walked in, right? But we're talking about your spiritual life. Dead in trespasses and sins. Now, how are you like Adam? I'm spending too much time on this. But God designed you for a purpose. And that purpose is to worship him. That purpose is to love God with all your heart. That purpose is actually to live for God, to serve God. Right? That's what God designed you for. Way more than you're living for now, by the way. Something far greater. But how are you ever going to fulfill that purpose if you're spiritually dead? See, you can't. You need life. And the beautiful thing about it is this: the moment a person trusts Christ, they have life. They have life. But we read down further and we see where he talks about disobedience, he talks about wrath, he talks about all of these things. But then in verse number 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together in Christ by grace. Ye are saved. Now the man on the road to Jericho in Luke chapter 10 is just like us. Just like us. You'll have to understand that Jericho, and it still may be today, I think Jericho is the lowest continually inhabited city on the earth. Now you can look it up, but most of us just Google it anyway. So you can Google it, but it's the lowest continually inhabited city on the earth. Probably, historically, the oldest continually inhabited city on the earth, Jericho. But this man, he left Jerusalem to go down to Jericho. Now, in Jerusalem was the temple, right? In Jerusalem was the temple, and in the temple, we are told, that's where the presence of God was. So here's a man, you'll see, Jerusalem is over here, and Jericho is down there. Jerusalem is on a mountain. Jericho is way down at the River Jordan, as low as you can go. Jerusalem is where God is, and Jericho, according to the Bible, is the place of the curse. So here he is, a picture of us, with his back toward God, going down. Now we've learned about that many nights in the gospel. Why? Because sinners have their back toward God, going down to hell. That's what we learn. But this man found that it's not just about the destination, although the destination was bad enough. It's about the road that leads there. You see, we do preach about the consequences of sin eternally because the Bible wants you to know, God wants you to know that the wages of sin have eternal implications. Hell is real, and hell is forever. But the Bible also says that the way of the transgressor is hard. And this man found out that on the road with his back toward God, it's a dangerous road to be on. And the robbers come out and they grab him and they take all that he has and they leave him there on the side of the road. We're told half dead. Remember what we learned in Ephesians? Dead. There he was, completely unable to do anything to help himself. Half dead on the side of the road. Our brother David took us to Luke chapter 15 the other night. That man who is the lost son and he's in the far country. And in the far country, he comes to his senses and he says, I perish. I perish. And in the original language, what he's really saying is this, I am killing myself with sin. And he realized that the way of the sinner is a hard way to live. It may include the momentary promise of pleasure, but it ends badly every time. And this man now, he's half dead on the side of the road. And you would think that someone would stop to help him. And you know what's interesting? Is it says, by chance, verse 31, there came down a certain priest. I'll point out the word here. Verse 31, by chance. It was just his lucky day. It says, by chance, the priest came. It says, likewise, the Levite came. But it doesn't say by chance that the Samaritan came, does it? Why? Because the Lord Jesus, when it comes to seeking and saving sinners, nothing happens by chance. Nothing is just a coincidence. So that again, we're repeating some of the themes we've been preaching about for weeks now, but I want you to get it. The reason these meetings are happening right now and the reason that you are in the meeting right now is because God intentionally has placed you here so that you can hear the word of God and be saved. That is Bible truth. Nothing happens as a result of a coin toss where God says, okay, tonight, I guess by chance, that person will get saved. No, nothing is by chance with God. But the priest walked and he went right around him. Didn't want to touch him. And the Levite came and he went right around him. Didn't want to touch him. Now, for those of you who are interested, the priest is a picture for us of religion. This man half dead on the side of the road, religion couldn't help him. Couldn't. And the Levite is a picture of our good works. And half dead on the side of the road, your good works can't help. But there is one who can help. And it really is the motivation of this Samaritan that I want you to look at. He has mercy on him. He has compassion. Can I tell you tonight, it moved me a little bit. I'm not always moved. I'm getting to be a cranky old man, to be absolutely honest. The world has nothing for me, and yet I have to live in the world. The people of the world have no time for God, and yet God's people are here. And sometimes we go through day to day to day just thinking, I can't wait till it's over, right? And we get to go to heaven, right? I see some heads nod. That's how we feel sometimes. Does that make me a cranky old man or does that make me a believer who's waiting for the coming of the Lord? I'm not sure, but that's how I feel. But tonight, when David started to talk about the love that the Son of God had for me, is that he gave himself for me. The priest didn't have that love for this man. The Levite didn't have that love for this man. But the Samaritan, he came right to where he was. And I tell you tonight, there's no one who loves you like the Lord Jesus loves you. There's a lot of people who love you. I'm sure there are. You probably have family members who care a great deal for you. And there are other people in the world, and they're wondering if anybody in the entire world cares at all. But I'll tell you this, whether you're surrounded by family that cares or you have no person to pay attention to you, there's a man in heaven who loved you so much that he came to this world to die on a cross. No greater love. Now I know that people ignore the love of God all the time. They do. It's the most selfish act a person can do to say, God, I am thankful that Christ came, but I don't want him. I appreciate that God loves, but I don't want that. Tremendous to think of, isn't it? You think of it now. I know we talked about the sheep, and I know we talked about the coin, the sheep resisting the shepherd, the coin running away from the light. Those were silly things. But can you imagine a Samaritan half dead on the side of the road, and if nobody comes to rescue him, he'll die that way? Can you imagine if the Samaritan came and he goes to rescue the man, and the man says, don't touch me. Leave me alone. Can you imagine if reaching out with a tear in his eye to pour in oil and wine to the wounds that have been caused by that which pictures sin, and the man saying, I don't want it. I don't want it. What he's really saying is, I don't want you. Tremendous to think about it, but that's what people do with the love of God, to where God is reaching out. God is reaching out across every barrier. He has made it possible that the barrier of sin can be removed by the love that he showed at the cross. He is now reaching out with tremendous grace, exceeding riches of grace, to offer you something that you could never deserve, to offer you something, and to be blunt, if you don't take it, you'll die in your sins. And he's reaching out, and he's offering it. And you say, no. Not for me. You know what impresses me more than anything in this world is that people say no and God still loves them. Still loves them. This Samaritan, were there no robbers still along that road? Absolutely. He was willing to risk it all just to rescue that one man. And he comes down and he lifts him up. Lifts him up. And he pours in that oil and he pours in that wine. That just speaks to us of medicine, right? He's doing everything that this man needs to be taken from half dead on the side of the road to living a life that he never had before. Is that possible? Now, I know I've gone overtime. I don't get paid for going overtime. Some people do. But I don't get paid at all, so it doesn't matter, does it? You think about this with me. Think about it. Is it possible that there's a better life than the one that you currently think you're living? Is it possible that the grumpy old man standing in front of you has a life that God has given that transcends anything that anyone else could have, anything anyone else could give? I'm not sure how you feel But I'll tell you this. It is an absolute blessing to be able to lay my head down tonight. I'm not going to use the old saying, lay your head on the pillow. You might not even use a pillow, but you lay your head down on the bed and you close your eyes to get some rest, and you know, I'm not just physically resting, I have eternal rest. Eternal rest. You know, if I was selling this, that would probably be the number one selling point of salvation. Rest. Peace. Contentment. From a God who loves you. And when he picked him up, he put him on his own beast. All of these things are in Ephesians chapter 2, by the way. Dead in trespasses and in sins, a man coming by with mercy and compassion and love lifts him up and seats him in a place that was higher than he could have ever been before. The priest couldn't have put him there, and the Levite couldn't have put him there, but the Samaritan puts him there. And according to the Bible, we who are saved have been not only given life, but we've been taken and we've been seated in heavenly places in Christ, in a place that we never could have without Christ. It's all there in the scriptures. And the plea tonight from the Bible is this: repent and come to Christ. And you know what you'll find? The Son of God, who loved you, gave himself for you, tonight he would embrace you. He would receive you. He'd forgive you. He'd give you life. And now I'm just babbling. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the cross. Father, none of us and all of us put together could never deserve the love wherewith he's loved us. Help us, Father, to live our lives from day to day with the freshness of the love of God in our heart. And Father, we pray that there'll be sinners tonight who will stop resisting and repent and trust the Savior. We ask thee to bless us now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.